morning and turn with me to the 18th chapter of St. John, the 18th chapter of St. John. Last Sunday, I spoke about the gospel in 3G. We visited the Garden of Gethsemane and Gabbatha, the place of judgment that Pilate presented Christ, and also Golgotha, the place that Jesus paid the sin debt for us. We looked at the ultimate display of Christ's sorrow in the Garden of Gethsemane, the ultimate display of His surrenderance there at Gabbatha, and of course the ultimate display of His suffering on Golgotha's hill. We find in these places the axiom of God's sovereignty and also the axiom of our depravity. There's many things that occur. I mean, I am frequently drawn to this portion of Scripture in my life. I guess of all the Scriptures that I read, this section of the Bible is the most tattered and torn, because here at this place, it's actually the axiom of human history. This is the place where it all begins for the redeemed soul. And so I want to deal, though, however, with a section of this history where Jesus was before Pilate. I might remind you that the Jews, and it's kind of ironic when you think about it, the Jews, and you can read about this in the book of Luke, the gospel account of Luke concerning the death of Jesus, but Christ was presented to Pilate by the Sanhedrin and by the Jews as the Messiah. They presented Jesus to Pilate as their Messiah, as the Christ, the Anointed One. They said, He says He's the Messiah, a king. And yes, they were expecting a king. They were expecting their eschatology. They were looking forward to a king reigning over them and, of course, reigning over the world. And so they offered up Jesus to Pilate as the Messiah. And so it bears to reason that as we read these passages of Scripture, Pilate's going to inquire, okay, you've been presented to me to be executed, to be crucified, because the Sanhedrin, or your own people, had offered you up to me as the Messiah, as a king. Are you a king? And so let's begin reading here in verse 31. And I might mention, one of the reasons that Pilate beat Jesus and mocked Him, and the reason that they put that reed in His hand and they put that purple robe upon Him, the reason they crowned Him with a crown of thorns and He was ushered out before the Jews, and Pilate says, here's your king. Really? You want me to put Him to death and you're claiming that He is your king? Look at Him in humility. I tell you, Christ suffered for us and He was humiliated for us. He was taking our place, and I'm not going to revisit what I preached last week, but this whole event of Pilate parading Christ before the Jews and pronouncing Him as the king, he was actually trying to get them to reason with Him a little bit and realize that what they were saying was absurd to Him. There's no way that this one man under these conditions can be a king, but He was. He was born king. Not only King of the Jews, but He is King of the world. King of kings and Lord of lords. So I'll begin reading in verse 31. Then said Pilate unto them, take ye Him and judge Him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto Him, it is not lawful for us to put any man to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which He spake, signifying what death He should die. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto Him. Now I just want to turn over to the Gospel of Luke just hurriedly. I want to read one verse, okay? I want to go back to Luke 23:2 where it says, and they began to accuse Him, saying, we found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that He Himself is Christ. Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. That was what they said to Pilate. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the King of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What have you done? And Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? And Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end, to this very reason, this purpose I was born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? I want to use that question of Pilate as my theme and subject for this morning. What is truth? I'm afraid there are a lot of people that have developed this same attitude of Pilate. Pilate's attitude is clearly displayed in this passage of Scripture. He considered truth irrelevant and unimportant. And let me caution you, any time the church ever begins, or any society or any nation or any group of people begin to adopt the attitude of Pilate where truth is irrelevant and unimportant, that society is on a downward decline. I want to use as a text a typical proverb that I think all of us should be familiar with. Proverbs 23 and 23. Buy the truth and sell it not. I believe the pearl of great price that Jesus spoke of in the parable in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 46 is that truth. Truth is to be prized. It is an important thing to us. And we need to reinstate the prizing of God's truth. Now, truth is indispensable. It's extremely important. It is only by the preaching and the proclaiming of the truth that people are saved. People cannot be saved unless the truth is presented. And let me say this. Jesus said in John 17 and 17 that the church would be sanctified by the truth. We are set apart. We are the people of God. We are that peculiar people. We are that special treasure unto God because of the truth. Apart from the truth, there is no setting apart or sanctification. We are set apart from the rest of the world because of our acquaintance and understanding and knowledge and keeping of the truth. We should be very passionate about truth. Now, I believe we ought to be very, very passionate about the divine truth. I'm talking about Scripture. I'm talking about the truth of God. This should be very important for us. It should be the driving force of the church. The Apostle Paul wrote the young minister Timothy, and he said, I'm writing these things that you might know how to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, which is the pillar and the ground of the truth. The driving force of the church is the truth. Do you realize that God elevates truth equal with His own name? He exalts it as high as His name. Truth is important. God identified Himself as the truth. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, did the same. He said, I am the way, the truth. He identified Himself as the truth. The first chapter of St. John, by the writing of the divine Holy Spirit, He said that Jesus Christ was the fullness of truth. So Jesus is the fullness of truth. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. Truth needs to be presented where sinners could realize their need of salvation. I believe the truth is the thing that sets people free from sin. It is the truth that sets people free from death. It is the truth that sets people free from the condemnation of sin. Listen, the truth needs to be preached. It needs to be proclaimed. We can't come together and worship unless we worship in truth. Right? That's what Jesus Christ said. Those that worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth. We're commanded. It's not an option, people. We are commanded to obey the truth. We are to love the truth. We are to speak the truth in love. We're to judge according to truth. We're to walk in truth. We are to be inundated. We're to be absorbing the truth. The truth should sustain us. It should engulf us. We should be engulfed by God's truth. I also strongly believe if we prize the truth, we are going to be holding up the truth. We're responsible for upholding the truth to the world. The church is not a pillar and ground of the truth unless it upholds the truth. We cannot be salt and light and be influential in the world unless we uphold the truth of God's holy word. So the church is to wield the truth. The sword of the truth needs to be wielded across this globe that people come to understand what truth really is. The church is to proclaim this truth. We are empowered when we uphold the truth because truth is essential. It's essential for the justification of men. It's essential for the sanctification and the hope of glory. We need the truth. In fact, the whole relationship that we have with God, your relationship, if you're a Christian, that you have with God, the fullness of it is based upon truth. So we love the truth, we hear the truth, we understand the truth, we're to believe the truth, we assent to the truth, that's why we say amen. We're saying, that's true, so be it, that's the truth. Amen. I remember, when I was preaching to a bunch of drug addicts and alcoholics down in Florida in a garage, and had a lot of different folks that would come in, and we had this one guy, his name was Charlie, and he was an atheist. He would debate with me and discuss things with me. But he kept coming to church or the service that I had. And he'd come hear me preach. And he would often scoff while I was preaching. You know, I'd be preaching. And he'd just say, I don't believe that. And I would holler out, Charlie, it's the truth, I tell you. It's the truth according to the Word of God. It's the truth. That's what's important for us, to engage ourselves in proclaiming the blessed truth. So the truth needs to be prized. It's important. I believe the truth is not only important, that we should prize it, and that it's indispensable to our lives, it's indispensable to the church, it's indispensable to the gospel, it's indispensable with respect to the human race finding the Lord, but it is also an absolute. An absolute. Truth is an absolute. God's truth does not change. We live in a day of relativism. Relativism is like, you've got a truth, I've got a truth. Don't put your monkey on my back. You know, don't force your truth on my truth. Relativism is ran rampant across our globe. And you know, when we stand up and today, it's a contradiction, okay? They say there's no absolutes. Okay, you come across these guys that are advocating this philosophy or this doctrine, and that's what it is. It's a philosophy, and actually it's a doctrine. It's a doctrine of devils is what it is. Relativism is very popular in our day, and they say you can't know truth because I'm absolutely sure there are no absolutes. Does anybody else see a contradiction there? You're absolutely sure there are no absolutes? You just defeated your own argument with your very statement. There are absolutes. God's word is an absolute. It can rule our lives. And I'll tell you this, when we stand in judgment, it will judge us in the end. Sure will. The books will be opened. So it's an absolute. God's word is an absolute. Jesus Christ, He said God's word is an absolute. He told us, He said, Thy word, He was talking about the word of God of the Old Testament, Thy word is true. God's word is true. You know, ever since man fell in the garden, Satan has tried to attack the truth. And God has been trying to reveal truth. Ever since the fall, God has been trying to reveal truth. And He preached to Adam and Eve. Remember that? He told them, this is the truth, that the Son of God would come and He would crush the head of the serpent and the serpent would bruise His heel. He was preaching to Adam and Eve about Jesus Christ coming to die on the cross because they had transgressed His law. And they needed to be saved. His saving truth is the most important truth. And God has been trying to reveal His saving truth to the world. He's provided a plan of salvation to save us from death and to save us from hell. And I'm thankful that He has. But all along the way, Satan has done everything he could possibly do to eliminate or destroy the truth. And we've got people today that are trying to say that the Word of God isn't true. We have these scientists, these evolutionists that have come along and they say you can't trust the Word of God. I'm telling you, you can't trust the Word of God. Their cycle babble doesn't add up, but if you read the Word of God, it is consistent from cover to cover. And it'll stand when this world is on fire. We got to abide the truth and sell it not. I'm afraid along the way, people have drifted away from the truth. You just look at the history of Israel. Even look at the history of the church. And there have been great sweepings of air of time where people have drifted away from doctrinal truth. The truth has never changed. The Word of God doesn't change. The doctrines of God do not change. The teachings of Christ do not change. It's an absolute. And if it changes, then it's no longer an absolute. Really? You understand that? Sure you do. Sure you do. But along the way, churches have abandoned the truth. They've lost heart for the truth. They've lost an interest in the truth. They failed to contend and to fight for the truth. But Jesus said, this is the reason that I've come into this world. And this is the reason I was born in this world. That I might reveal truth to this world. The church sometimes has taken that attitude of Pilate and been flippant about truth. So the truth, it's very important. It is indispensable. It's absolute. I believe the truth is obtainable. You can know the truth. Jesus said in the 18th chapter of John, He made it real clear that He was here to reveal divine truth to the world. And truth He did reveal. He also said that He would leave the Spirit in the world to lead us and guide us unto all truth. You can know the truth. Listen, it is God's desire that you be saved. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. One reason a lot of people are not saved is that they refuse to lay aside their deceit and their deception and their lies and come to the truth. But most folks are just like whoop-de-doo. Truth really doesn't matter, but it matters to God. It matters to His church. You know, I've been teaching on Wednesday night's 24th chapter. We read about the judgment of the world, where the world is unhinged and the constellations are destroyed and the universe collapse.
collapses and the sun refuses to shine and the moon turns to blood and the stars fall from heaven. We moved into chapter 25 and we see that death is swallowed up in victory and we're raised from the dead and God wipes every tear from our eye. We've started into the 26th chapter of Isaiah where we begin to sing as we go into the glorified Jerusalem. We go into that heavenly place whose walls and bucklers are God's salvation. And in verse 2 of the 26th chapter of the book of Isaiah, it talks about all the nations that love righteousness come into that glorious kingdom because the gates of that city are not shut. And he went on and said, and those that come into the glorious place where the gates are not shut, they are keepers of the truth. Wow. People who love and keep the truth go to heaven. That's what Isaiah said. That's the gospel according to Isaiah. That's why the church would be a prized place there. But Pilate had a tone of sarcasm. It wasn't a big deal. It is a big deal. It's a big deal to God. Listen, there's no greater revelation of truth than Jesus Christ. The truth that he came to bear witness of. The truth that Satan is seeking to obstruct. What is the one truth that he's trying to keep from your grandchildren? Keep from your children. Keep from your neighbors. Keep from your loved ones. Keep from your friends. I'll tell you what truth he's trying to keep from them is that they need to be saved. You look in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13. It says, whom we have trusted after we heard the word of truth. The gospel of our salvation. We were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Listen, people need the truth to be saved. Amen. Truth about Jesus dying on the cross. The truth about Him being raised on the third day. The truth about Him ascending to glory. The truth about Him being seated at the right hand of the Father. The truth about Him coming back in power and great glory. He's coming. He's coming back to take His children home. This is the one single solitary truth that is the most relevant truth in all of the world. People need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. What this truth reveals is that you're a sinner, that you're lost, that you transgress the laws of a holy God, that you're under condemnation, that you need to move from the errors of your ways and move toward the truth. You know how we come to the knowledge of the truth? Is moving or laying aside from our false understanding. People deceive themselves today. They really do. Truth is attainable. You will never be born again of the Spirit of God till you come to the realization that you are deceiving yourselves. You're deceiving yourself, and people are deceiving themselves into thinking that they're okay in the sight of God as they are. No, you're not. You must be born again. You have to be changed. You have to be transformed. No one goes to heaven in the kind of shape you're in. You're lost, and you need Jesus. And that's why He came. People want to avoid it rather than assuming responsibility for their sins. Your understanding of truth may not be truth at all. You have thought that you have the truth, but you are lying and deceiving yourself. People get trapped in a lie. The Bible talks about that. Psalms 58 and 3. David said, the wicked are estranged from the womb. He says, they go astray as soon as they are born, speaking lies. You need to be conscious of the fact that you're incompetent of saving yourself. You need a Savior. And I don't know how to make you conscious of that unless God helps me to speak and God's Spirit anoints the message where it gets down and into your soul and it opens your heart to where you see that you need a Savior. Amen. That's where salvation starts. And knowing that you need a Savior. As long as you continue to go on your way refusing to embrace the truth of the fact that you have missed the mark. Like Paul said in Romans chapter 3 and verse 21, that all have sinned. Listen to me, children. You're born in sin, and if you don't get saved, you'll die in sin. You need to embrace the truth that you're lost and you're undone, that you have sinned and come short of the glory of God, that you have missed the mark, and you are separated from God. And if you remain that way, you will die and go to hell. That's the truth. That's the unbridled truth. Boy, I pray the Holy Spirit would work today and open your heart to the truth. You need Jesus. You need Jesus. May the Spirit of truth guide us this morning into truth. So we are to prize the truth. It is indispensable. It's absolute. It's attainable. We need to, I'm going to try to hurry on. I got three other points. We need to purchase the truth. Truth is expensive. Do you guys realize that it cost the very life of the Lamb? Do you realize how many people have died for the truth? Refusing to recant that Jesus is the Messiah. Here he was presented to Pilate as the Messiah. He died with an inscription about him, the King of the Jews, in three languages. And people would burn at the stake rather than denounce him as something other than the Messiah. They would die for the truth. Do you realize how much blood was shed for the truth? Let us believe the truth. Let us study the truth. Let us seek truth. Let's want to know truth. I'm encouraged by these young ministers that are pursuing and searching truth. And I would encourage you to do that. You need the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you and help you along the way. But listen, there's a lot of false doctrine out there. There's a lot of misconceptions. But I'll tell you something. When you get down on your knees and the Lord shows up and the Holy Spirit reveals truth unto you, all the devils in hell cannot get you off of it. You just get in the Word, and you get on your knees, and you get a hold of the Lord, and the Holy Spirit will do the rest. He will guide you unto all truth. Amen. And let me share something with you. I believe the reason the missionary Baptists believe what they do believe and practice what they do practice is because of the Holy Spirit has kept them and guided them unto truth. Amen. If I didn't believe this was sound doctrine, I wouldn't be here. We got to continue in the Word of God and study the Word of God. It takes time to know truth. Amen. A lot of any generation that has truth handed to them on a silver platter, it won't be their convictions. Every generation has to get on their face before God and make sure that this is truth so it might be a conviction formed in them where that they too are willing to go to the stake and die for this truth. Loving not their lives, even unto death. I was talking to Jerry last night about the book of Revelation. I just told him, I said, look, man, this book is a martyr's manual. Martyr's manual. I said, people can inject all these other things in the 20th chapter of Revelation they want to. Oh, man, how'd I get here? About those that were beheaded for the Word of God, who were living and reigning with Christ. I said, you cannot separate the martyrs from Satan being bound. I said, people can inject all kinds of hypothetical things about that. But I told him, I said, what we need to be cautious of and concerned about is this did represent in some way the amount of persecution towards the church. And that would be restricted for a while. But then he would be released a second time. Listen, the day may be coming. It may be coming very soon that we may have to die for the truth. Amen. Satan again will be unleashed. And that may symbolize a final outpouring of persecution against the truth. And I want a church ready. I'll be honest with you, man. Listen to me. If you can't run with the footman, how are you going to run with the horseman? That's a proverb of Jeremiah. He's like, if you can't handle the small stuff, don't think for a minute you're going to handle the big stuff. okay? It's not going to happen. Church needs to be able to handle all things, but especially the big things, and there's nothing any bigger than God's truth. All right, I got to move on. All right. We got to... let me give you one verse. James 1 and 21. I got a bunch of proof for that text. Wherefore, lay aside all filthiness and superficiality and naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to preserve your life or save your soul. We need to purchase the truth. We need to preserve the truth. In Jude chapter 1 and verse 3, it talks about how that we need to contend for the faith. That's the doctrines of the church. We need to contend for these theological truths of the faith. Listen, there's a day coming when we may not have the same freedoms that we enjoy right now. Do you realize that these relativist people are going around saying that those that take a stand and dig in their heels into saying that these absolutes are found in God's holy word, that we are immoral? What I preach. And that brings me to the last point. We got to preserve the truth. People who deny the truth or distort the truth or dilute the truth or defile the truth. We got to guard against those who would do that. We got to proclaim the truth. Now purchase it, preserve it, and proclaim it because it's a prized possession. Buy the truth and sell it not. My kingdom, he said, is a kingdom of truth. In the book of Zechariah, it talks about the city being a city, the glorified Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem, being a city of truth. We're going to the place of truth. Amen. Where Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. Preserving the truth and proclaiming the truth. That's one of the ways we preserve it. You know, we're living in a day where people say, well, when you declare that Jesus is the only way of salvation, then you're immoral. I got to stand for the truth. He is the only way. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. Must be. There's no other way but through Jesus Christ. There are not two ways or three ways or four ways. And let me say this. We have to proclaim the truth. We have to preach the truth. You can't get saved by just repeating a prayer. Amen. Do you realize that the modernists have reduced repentance to pushing the like button on Facebook? Is that messed up or what? Huh? The church needs to stand up and say, you must repent of your sins. You must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Repeating a prayer, signing a card, that will not get you to heaven. Amen. You must repent. The truth is, Jesus came, He died on the cross, you're going to have to get convicted of your sins, you're going to have to turn from sin, repent of sin, and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ to the saving of your soul. Amen. We need to preach the truth about sin. We stand for the sanctity of the home. The sanctity of life. The sanctity of marriage. Amen. We're going to stand up and preach the truth about these things that God has said in His holy word if it takes us to a grave. Because it's the truth. We've got to teach and preach the truth about judgment, about predestination, the truth about righteousness and holiness and about eternal life. We've got to preach the truth about grace. Yeah, the 4G, the last G, you may not have caught it last week. But the last G was grace. We're saved wholly of grace, not of works. Those folks that believe that you can be saved by baptism, it's not the truth. Amen. That liquid grave will not erase your sins. It will not wash away your sins. Only the blood will do. Amen. Blood before water and water before church baptism or church membership. Amen? Amen. Yeah. You're not born again into the church. You're baptized into the church. That's the truth. I'm thankful for that grace that comes fresh off the throne of God, aren't you? And listen, children, it's available to you today. You know, the older I get, the more I appreciate people who will guard, keep, and proclaim the truth. I'm thankful for those who prize the truth all of their life. Ministers who would stand and preach the truth and declare the truth and find the truth and declare that to a lost and dying world. Declare that to me and to you. That's a precious commodity. Listen, there's a lot of folks out there who are wolves in sheep's clothing. And they're not telling the truth. Half truth will send you to hell. We need the whole truth of God's Word. And I'm glad for the Holy Spirit's help in understanding it. You know what? We can't do any of this without the help of God. Prize that truth. What is truth? Truth is important to us, isn't it? It's a prized thing, and we're to buy it and sell it not. We're to proclaim it, and we are to protect it. We are guardians. Listen to me, church. We are guardians of God's truth. We're to be an entity that exists, an institution, a divine institution in the world that is a lighthouse of the truth. For all those wayfaring vessels out there that are on the seas of disaster, they can see the light of the truth and come to God. That's what we're to be, a lighthouse of truth. Children, listen to me. You're very fortunate that you grew up in a church where you heard the truth. I don't believe here at Victory anybody would ever deceive you. Nobody's going to tell you at the end of reading some prayer that you're okay. They're going to tell you to repent and believe, and when you trust to the saving of your soul, you'll be born from above. Yeah, and you'll be the first to know. We're still preaching the truth around here. You are fortunate to grow up in that. But listen, the devil is a liar, and he'll come to you and tell you that it's okay to stay lost. It's not okay. You're on dangerous grounds. You need to get saved today. He'll tell you to just wait. Oh, there's been way too many young people who have waited and waited too late, and they died lost in their sins. Listen, if you die lost in your sins right now, God has a right, and He would be just to send you into the eternal abyss of hell. Come now, while there's time and opportunity. The truth is, Jesus is the Savior today. Right now. You can make your calling election sure. Today is the day of salvation. Let's see. That's the truth. Don't go away from the truth today. Don't turn your back on the truth. Don't depart from the truth. Don't move away from the truth. Move to He who is the truth and the light. Let us sing. Stand as we sing. Is there somebody here who will come to the truth today? Come to the truth. He will save you today. Believe with all of your heart. Repent of your sins. Anyone here today want to come to the truth? Any lost soul here today want to come to the truth? Come to the truth. Come to Jesus. He is the truth. Just pour yourself out before Him. Turn from your wicked ways. Call upon His name. He'll save you, and you'll go on changed. A new creation in Christ Jesus. Let us sing.